And so we want to continue where we stopped or where we halted last Sunday night. And we were talking about the armor of God. Hallelujah. So Ephesians, I told you the armor is not an option. The armor is a necessity. It's a responsibility of every believer to put on. And it also says, the Bible also says in the book of Romans, the put on Christ. Christ is the armor of God. Christ himself put on the armor in Isaiah 59 when we see there. So I already took all those things from where the revelation of the armor came in. It did not come from the perspective of a Roman soldier. It came from what was already Jesus was wearing for warfare. And Isaiah 59, the book of Isaiah reveals it, that when there was no intercessor to fight, Jesus had to wear the armor and go for battle. Hallelujah. So that means the armor is related to the fighting or the wrestling ministry of intercession. Intercession, I told you, many of us only think that intercession is just crying and pleading and asking forgiveness on behalf of the land and on standing in the gap. That is the lawyer ministry of an intercessor, where you stand in the courts of heaven and you plead the cases of people. Intercession ministry has different aspects, like the lawyer ministry, the watchman ministry, the prophet's ministry, and then it comes to the wrestling ministry. Hallelujah. It comes to the wrestling ministry. A Christian cannot grow in the Lord. A Christian cannot advance in the kingdom of God if the Christian does not know to wrestle. You need to know to wrestle and push the enemy back. Hallelujah. So that is what Isaiah 59 was revealing about. 16 to 19. We'll not go into that. I took it in the last meeting, but let us give context to what we are hearing on the armor of God. That Isaiah 59, when you read that verse, it says, because there was no intercessor that God found, he himself brought salvation, his own arm brought salvation, and his own righteousness sustained him. And he wore the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, and he went out into the enemy's territory to what? Recompense the enemy, to repay the enemy. Hallelujah. If there is, hallelujah, are we understanding? So that means the armor of an intercessor is for the purpose of bringing God's judgment on wickedness. Are we together? Hallelujah. If you are not praying, if the church is not praying for judgment to come upon the wickedness, for judgment to come upon the devil's kingdom, judgment will not come, because prayer is given to us to release utterances of judgment on wickedness. Hallelujah. What do you think? Oh, you will just love people and judgment will come. No, you have to pray judgment. I don't have time to show you, but the apostles were vessels through whom judgment would come on the wicked people, the apostles. Once there was this man called Bar Jesus who was trying to hinder the ministry of Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul kept quiet for some time. But when he saw that the salvation of the administrator was being hindered when he was preaching or giving the word of God to him, but this Bar Jesus was hindering. Apostle Paul came in the Spirit of God and released judgment on him. He became blind. Hallelujah. He became blind. Do you know nowadays what is happening? What is happening is someone in the kingdom of the devil who is just 6 months old as a witch. She is just, yeah, she has just come into the witch ministry, into the wizard ministry, 6 months old, goes on the street and can overturn the vehicle of a pastor who is ministering from 30 years. Hallelujah. Yes, that is happening. Witches are killing men of God. Wizards are killing men of God. These men of God, 30 years old, 40 years old in the Lord. And these are babies in the witchcraft world, 6 months as a witch, and can defeat a pastor of 30 years. How can that happen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? That can happen because the church has not realized what is the armor for. And the church has not got into the wrestling ministry, the warfare ministry. Hallelujah. For which the armor of God has been given. You know, King Saul did not listen to God and he let King Agag, the king of the Amalekites, to live. But prophet Samuel, the intercessor, came and said, why have you disobeyed the Lord? Why do I hear the bleating and the sound of the sheep and cattle? Why did you not completely destroy it? And then when he saw Agag alive, he knew that was a demonic, the face of the demonic principality of Amalekite. He rose up and Samuel killed Agag. It says that he cut Agag in pieces before the Lord, Samuel. Don't get me wrong, I'm not telling you to go with a sword and cut people. No, 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 not that. I am talking about that leading of the Holy Spirit, that utterance of the Holy Spirit, that he gives the weapon, the armor that he gives to bring judgment on wickedness. Why is wickedness prospering? Why are satanic agendas on the flow? We don't see the revival on the flow. Satanic agendas are on the flow. Why? Because the people of God don't know to use the armor. They don't know to release judgment on the wickedness. Because there was no intercessor in the land, Jesus went and repaid and recompensed the wicked people. The wicked people. That means the intercessors were not doing their work of releasing judgment. So at that time, Jesus had to. Are you understanding? That's a revelation. It is not for that time of Isaiah. Isaiah is bringing out a revelation from the realms of the Spirit. That if we don't realize the wrestling ministry, don't realize the utterance that we have to release on the wickedness that is going on in the world, on wicked people. If we don't do that, hallelujah, the armor of God is designed for that. And if people don't wear that and do that task or assignment, Jesus wears it. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is called now the chief intercessor. Okay, but we are not going to be ignorant of the fact we have the armor. And we are going to understand the armor and carry out the ministry, carry out the assignment that Jesus has given us. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? People of God, we got to be lions who got to scare and drive out devils and demons from territories. We got to be bold. Christians are bold when they speak to you, to their wife. Why didn't you cook this? Why didn't you close the door? But they are like cats when they are before the enemy. Oh, I am afraid this sickness came on me. But they become bold and aggressive to human beings. That's why Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6:12 that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That means we should not waste energy fighting with people or having conflicts and arguments with people. Don't waste your energy there. The energy that you have, the weapons you have, don't try to pull others down, or don't try to criticize your wife or fight with your family members or whatever. Christians whom you see continuously fighting with each other, getting angry with each other, they are wasting their energy. They are wasting their strength on the wrong person, on the wrong enemy. Hallelujah. The real enemies are principalities, are powers. That is the real enemy. So we don't waste our time fighting with flesh and blood. Hallelujah. We want to use our time, redeem our time to fight with the powers of darkness, with principalities, with rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness. That is what Apostle Paul is trying to explain. If you want to be aggressive with the devil, not with your wife, not with your children. If you want to get angry at spirits. Hallelujah. Many Christians, when they go through problem, they say, I rebuke you. There is not too much hatred in that rebuke that the devil will go out. I was telling in the last few sermons that demons go out when there is a hate in you and in your speech against them. Hallelujah. But you know, someone is rebuking the spirit of lust. Get out in Jesus' name. Get out in Jesus' name. But in their heart, there is a soft corner. There is an area where they still think, oh, I will get back to those lustful activities. The spirit will not go. When you hate that lust with all your heart, I hate pornography. I hate those things. I hate those activities. I hate this spirit. I hate you. Get out in Jesus' name. You know, at the voice of Jesus, why demons went out? At the voice of the apostles, why demons went out? Because they hated the devil. Hallelujah. They hated the devil. But when you have some things that you love of that spirit, and then I rebuke you, that's why it does not goes out. That's why it again comes back. And another thing is software programming. I told you about that, strongholds, any which ways. But if you want spirits to go, you need to hate the activities of the spirit. You need to hate the habits that are been installed by that very spirit in you. Hate those things. If you don't develop a hatred, what does the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 1 verse 9? It says that because he loved righteousness and hated lawlessness, therefore God has anointed him with the oil of gladness. Hating lawlessness and loving righteousness. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Any which ways. So we are going to go on the armor. Last time I discussed about the helmet of salvation, and from the scriptures we came to understand the helmet of salvation is telling us that it's not the work of man, but the work of God. Hallelujah. If you understand that, it will protect us from the arrows that are sent by the enemy against our mind. Because the enemy wants to affect our mind. If our mind is not in place, we will not be able to do kingdom work. Never. We cannot hear the voice of God if the mind is not in place. What the enemy wants to do nowadays is with all of us. What the enemy wants to do nowadays is to bombard our mind with information. So much of unnecessary information. You look to your phone, there are on the notification bar, WhatsApp messages, Facebook messages, someone sent you a video, someone sent you a message on Instagram, someone sent you a message on WhatsApp, a video. So much of informations, and then we read it, then, oh, let's see what is this, oh, let's see what is that. And what starts to happen is the enemy in a subtle way starts to cloud our mind with thoughts. Then our mind is clouded with several information which are unnecessary. Yes, which are really unnecessary. Nowadays, there is a trend of this small videos that people post about travel and 30 second reel and all those things. And just within 30 seconds, you can scroll through and have entertainment right on your mobile phone. Have entertainment right on your mobile phone. And so much of information. And then they will show information. Oh, you know, how to do prenatal care in a right way. And if your baby is going to in the video, you don't even know why you are seeing that prenatal care. You are a man. You are not pregnant, but you are seeing that video and they are giving you 3 points and you are listening to it. Unnecessary information. You are, hallelujah. Are you understanding? Oh, this prenatal care. Okay. Yeah. You are just seeing it. Then the next video you scroll up and then you see that how to develop muscles in order to lift up 150 kgs of weight. Oh yeah, how to develop it? You are not going to do that, but you are watching it. Unnecessary information being bombarded in your mind. Hallelujah. And when you just after having the scrolling, just stop it after having that information in your mind for 15 minutes and try to pray and connect and hear the voice of God. You will not be able to hear the voice of God at that time because your mind is clouded with information. Your mind is clouded with thoughts and you cannot hear, connect God. Then you have to pray in tongues for about, I don't know, 1 hour, 2 hours. Hallelujah. And then when the thoughts are cleared off, your mind is empty. Hallelujah. And our generation, our age, oh my God, we are in dangerous times. Even I started to become a victim of that. Then slowly I realized, what is this? That in that we don't, hallelujah, if we don't hear from God, oh my God, if I don't hear from God, if I don't seek Him regularly, if I don't seek Him consistently, oh God, hallelujah, I don't know what will happen to the body of Christ. I don't know what will happen to us. Hallelujah. Because we are being flooded with information, unnecessary information. It does not even look like a sin. It does not even look like anything wrong. But what it is doing to us is, it is withdrawing us from the basic of meditating on the Word of God. What is meditating? The Bible says that, the Bible says in the book of Joshua, God said to Joshua, you shall not depart from the book of the law. You shall meditate on it. Meditate on it day and night. Whenever meditation of the word comes, it comes with day and night, continuous meditation. You see that Psalms chapter number 1, when you read Psalm chapter number 1, it says, blessed is the man who meditates on the law day and night. So wherever he goes, he shall prosper and so on and so forth. Meditation is that you keep your mind detached from unnecessary information and keep your mind focused on the Bible, on the word. Hallelujah. Keep your mind focused on the word, on the word. For example, you read the word, you read Colossians chapter number 3, and there you read that my life is hidden with Christ in God. And then you read the word in the morning, and then when you go to work, then when you are going through the day and living that day, you are asking God, what is meant, what is the meaning of to be hidden, my life to be hidden with you in God? What is the meaning? What is the meaning? What do you want to speak to me? Hallelujah. And constantly you are focused in your attention towards the Lord, asking Him about the word. That is how revelations come out to you. Hallelujah. When you keep the word in your mind that is not clouded with thoughts. Hallelujah. Tell me, can you watch the TV and hear this teaching at the same time? No. You cannot see the TV and also listen to me. Can I look at my mobile phone or surf through my mobile phone and teach you at the same time? No, we cannot do that. And that is the same with the word. If you are meditating on the word day and night, there cannot be other areas of focus through your mind. The helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. We got to understand that our life cannot be driven by money. Our life cannot be driven by our hard work. Hard work will fail. Money will fail. It cannot be driven by influence. How much ever, hallelujah, you work hard, you will fail if you are not driven by the word of God. If your life is not driven by the word of God, what's the use of you watching over the territory? Hallelujah. And the Lord is not with you. The word is not with you. We will come to that. The belt of truth. We will come to that. It's the connecting part of the armor. The word. Meditate. Your mind, the helmet of salvation, you see, has to be in place. Hallelujah. The helmet of salvation makes us realize We are not of this world. We are been redeemed. We are the citizens of heaven. Hallelujah. I know many things I say. I am saying by understanding the workings of the Spirit. People would say, oh, you know, he is going to ahead. The teachings are very hard. It's not hard. I am giving you a teaching to live and survive in such a time as this. Hallelujah. We are not supposed to cloud our mind with unnecessary information. Hallelujah. We are supposed to keep our mind focused so that our mind will be able to meditate on the word day and night. Meditate on the word day and night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So tomorrow, when calamity hits you, you will be able to handle that calamity and overcome that situation and not be in a panic situation, messaging 10 people in the church and asking your pastor to pray because you don't understand anything. That happened because the word was not in your mind. The word did not go into your spirit, was not stored up in you. Because in times of trouble, it is the word stored in you that will save you. Hallelujah. I think I told this dream earlier. I had a dream from the Lord once. And in that dream, I was in a certain weird vehicle. And someone was driving the vehicle. I was back on the passenger seat. And the vehicle was going on a road. And just beside the road, there was the waves of water, like a sea coming. Waves of water. Everywhere there was water. There was no one. And I thought this person is taking me somewhere. And that vehicle took me. At last, the person looked at me back. And I saw that person was a demon. And left that vehicle. And the vehicle went into the sea. I also went into the water. Physically, I know how to swim. But in that water, I was not able to swim. Because it was the demonic realms of the water. And I was drowning. In my drowning, I was at sleep. And literally, I was saying, Jesus, Jesus. But nothing was happening. Jesus, Jesus. No one was. Jesus was not coming. Jesus was not coming. You know, no one came. I thought Jesus will come. If I call on his name, he will come. And suddenly the Holy Spirit inside of me gave me a word, and he said, and the word, like from with the ushering of a force from the Holy Spirit, came through my mouth that I will not die, I will live and declare the works of the Lord. The words I remembered came from within of me, and I spoke that. And as soon as I spoke that, I saw myself out of the water. From that dream, then I started asking the Lord, Lord, what is that? Is it a demonic attack? The Lord told me, I am teaching you how to come out of calamity. Many people call God, Jesus, but God gave you 24 hours in a day. You did not even read his word. And now when the calamity came against you, you are calling on him. But the word was already given to you. If you would have read that word, the devil would not have been able to drown you there. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? People who have experienced that know it. That in the dreams, even if you call Jesus, you call Jesus, the devil will continue to grab your neck in your dream. You got to trace some mystery in the spirit realm of how to tackle with that spirit, how to overcome. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? The word, the realm of the mind is the division between the soul and the spirit. The realm of the mind, actually. When the mind is empty and you start to meditate on the word of God, the gates of the mind are open so that that word is released into your spirit man. When that word goes in your spirit man, you don't even have to memorize that word. It will stay in you. You read that verse in one time, it will stay in you. It's your spirit memory. Hallelujah. That has happened with me many times. After being in the presence of the Lord, waiting on him, and when I start to understand the presence of the Lord has overtaken me and I'm filled with fire, I start reading the word. When I start reading the word, I don't even have to memorize scripture. I just remember it because the realm of my mind has allowed the word to go in the spirit. Hallelujah. When you pray in tongues, what actually happens is the spirit starts to overtake your human mind and drive out the thoughts. that is edifying yourself. Whoever prays in tongues edifies himself. What is edifying himself is the mind starts to come under the control of the spirit man. Hallelujah. The reason, it's hallelujah, it's all about these mind things, you know. The mind is a very integral part of the human, of a being, of a human being. It's all about this mind thing. Hallelujah. Are we understanding until now? The helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is about guarding your mind, guarding the gates of your mind. Are we understanding? Is keeping your mind focused and to be readily available for meditating on the word of God. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you, in times of calamity, angels will not come, even if you, because you did not read the word. You did not meditate on the word. When you were supposed, even if you don't have time, just sit in the meeting and hear this out, what I'm saying, and write it down. Hallelujah. And if you remember it, meditate on those things, I'm telling you, your life will change. Hallelujah. Many of the attacks that you are asking 10 people, 20 people to pray, you don't have to ask so many people to pray. You will be able to understand that God has given you the weapons of warfare, the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. So that is the helmet of salvation. Most of it I have covered last time about the meaning is and all those things. So the next thing we are going to go on is the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, we are referring to the verses. So for those who don't who want to know the verse, we are referring to Ephesians chapter number 6. We are referring to Ephesians chapter number 6. Then verse 14 talks about, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So let's look at the breastplate of righteousness. So the breastplate of righteousness is to protect the chest. And to be more specific, it is to protect the heart. So I told you last time that the kingdom of the enemy would send arrows against what? Your heart. To impact your heart. To break your heart. So that you will be heartbroken, and that heartbrokenness will lead you into depression, into all sort of gloomy moods and sadness. Hallelujah. So if you are focusing on the word and meditating on the word, he will not be able to impact your mind. If you are a selfless person and it's not, any attacks would come against your mind, you would say, Lord, it's yours. It's not the work of my, it is your work. So I surrender it to you. When you start protecting your mind, the enemy will turn his telescope to your heart, and he will start to look, how can I impact this person's heart? How can I impact this person's heart? He will start to release arrows against your heart. And if you don't have the breastplate of righteousness, you will be left heartbroken, depressed, sad, and gloomy, disconnected from the Lord and from the Spirit of God. Because the arrows without the breastplate of righteousness would impact your heart. Okay, let us understand the breastplate of righteousness. First of all, righteousness is connected to the heart, and the heart is connected to the things you love. I was talking about the soul and the mind and the heart, because the Bible says the first commandment is love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Hallelujah. Soul, I told you, is related to an idol. If you have an idol, your soul, a part of your soul, is sold to the idol. You cannot love the Lord with all your soul. It's related to an idol. I told you about the heart. Is related to the things you love to do. It's not even related to demons or demonic activities. It's about you, what you love to do. If you love yourself too much, love your own self too much, very self-centered. Hallelujah. If you love yourself too much, very self-centered, you that love will not let you be righteous in the eyes of God, because if God is not, God's word will not please you. Sometimes God's word will convict you to mend your habits or to change you and tell you stop doing this, because God's word is for the purpose of also rebuke. Along with encouragement, it's also rebuke. So if you love yourself too much, hallelujah, that rebuke will turn into an offense to you, because you don't want to be corrected. The form of pride is the love for yourself, and these things are connected. So if you love God with all your heart, love God with all your heart, everything for you is, there will be righteousness that will cover you, the righteousness of Christ. But first of all, before going into those things, I want to explain you the meaning of righteousness. It's a simple word, righteousness. But what is the meaning of righteousness? Now, many of us think that righteousness is doing good. Oh, I went and did ministry. I went and fed the poor. I went and helped those people. I went and gave money to those people. Works, human works, are not righteousness before God. As well as it says in the book of Isaiah, all your righteous works are like filthy rags before me. Righteousness are not works produced by men. Righteousness are not at all works produced by men. What is righteousness? In Matthew's chapter number 3. Let's go there. Matthew's chapter number 3. And let us read from verse number 14. It says, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him. Okay, here Jesus comes to John and wants to be baptized by John. Now John knew that this is the Son of God, the Lamb of God, to be slain by the sins of the world, slain for the sins of the world. He knew the revelation that he is the Lamb, he is the Messiah. And knowing that revelation, who he is, John abstained. He said, no, I don't want to baptize you. I know your position. I know you, who you are. You are the Son of God. But Jesus said to him, permit it to be so now, for us to fulfill what? All righteousness. What is the meaning of that? Why Jesus is saying that? What is the revelation behind those words of Jesus? What Jesus is saying to John is, I know you respect me, and I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah. I am the Lamb of God. But even above who I am, what is important is the word of my Father. As per my Father, I need to be baptized by you. So let it be so now. Hallelujah. So everything. Now, Jesus had to be baptized by John was already written by the Father of Jesus, our God. Hallelujah. Was written by. And Jesus said, it's not about who I am. It's not about my position. It's not about my title. But it's about what God has written for my life. I will walk on that path. I will do what God has told me to do, irrespective of who I am. Hallelujah. So permit it to be so now. You baptize me so that we can fulfill what? That is righteousness. Walking in the written word of God is righteousness. Walking in the ordained plan of God for your life is righteousness. Are we understanding? Stay with me. Stay with me. Are you understanding? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This time when I'm sitting here now and teaching to you, I could have gone out on the crusade grounds to do ministry and preach to the crowds. Even though that looks like ministry, but it's not righteousness as per God, because it is not God's time for me to be there. It's God's will for me to be here. It's his written ordained plan for me to be here. That is righteousness. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Oh, I don't want to come to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit ministers in three levels. It says he convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. In the book of John, chapter number 16. Yeah, you know that? Of sin, Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. I don't even want to go in that revelation. Maybe I will take it separately. Hallelujah. But when a person accepts the conviction of sin is received by the Holy Spirit, the person is saved. Okay? The person is saved. Now, the conviction of sin will give the person the ability of God, of the Spirit of God, to have discernment, wisdom, and understanding that God hates this thing and God loves this thing. That first stage of life, of conviction of sin. After that, what you will have is, you will start, if you have received Jesus through the conviction and repentance through the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, really converted, what will start to happen is, you used to smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol, go to the pubs, dance with ladies, all those things, you will stop doing it because you will start to look through the eyes of God and start to understand that that displeases God. That is the first stage of the Holy Spirit where He convicts people of their sin. Hallelujah. So you are living a holy life. But what to do with that holy life? Many people are living a holy life and knowing this is wrong and this is right and doing the right things. But after that, when the paths of righteousness is what Abraham did. God spoke to Abraham and said, I want you to go out and walk on a pathway that I want you to walk on. It's the plan of God, it's the written word of God. Then again, the Holy Spirit will bring the conviction of righteousness. That means you are not supposed to sit on your couch or do something else with your holy life. God has a plan ordained for you. And then God will start to tell you what you are doing in that job. I want you to do this. And then when you start to obey Him in walking in the paths ordained by Him, walking in His pathways is righteousness. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Doing what you are supposed to do is righteousness, breastplate of righteousness. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter number 24, verse 16. For it says, 24:16, for a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Hallelujah. Why a righteous man falls and again gets up? Why? Because he is walking in the path ordained by God. So in that path, he cannot be down. The hand of the Lord is extended to raise him again because he is walking in the path ordained by God. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I am saying? I am saying that you could be doing ministry, but not in the path of His written word. There is something that God has laid for you, a path that you should walk in. Hallelujah. Like for Apostle Paul, if you study the epistles, this apostle did not build mega church, was not an influential pastor who had a lot of fame and money. He was not like that, like the apostles and prophets of nowadays. He was a man who suffered for Christ. And this pathway of suffering was revealed by Jesus through Ananias, the servant of Jesus, in the beginning itself. You remember when the scales fell off from his eyes, Ananias told him that you are chosen to bear the name of Jesus before the Gentiles. And the Lord will show you how many things you shall suffer for His name's sake. Hallelujah, are you understanding? Now, let me give you an example for you to understand. If Apostle Paul wanted and knew, I encountered Jesus and I know Jesus, I know the revelation, he could have gone on a pathway of a prosperity church or a mega church or something like that. But he chose to endure suffering and walk in this ministry that Jesus has called him to be. Are you understanding? You know, oh God, hallelujah. I had a dream from the Lord. And in that dream, one of the most influential evangelists from India, who goes around the world preaching the gospel, but from a prosperity perspective, was there in my dream. And I was facing him. He was with his son. He was with his son from India. He's an evangelist, but he calls himself an apostle. Any which ways, he was in my dream and I was standing before him. Now, this is the fifth or the sixth time this man came in my dream, this man of God. And I was standing before him and I was speaking to him, and the Spirit of the Lord, literally, I started to hear, even as I was speaking, I started to realize that it's like someone speaking to me, and then I am speaking. Someone speaking to me, I am speaking. I started to tell him, this is not the ministry that God has ordained for you. And he has been ministering from 40, 50 years. The ministry that God has given you is like the ministry of Peter. Hallelujah. To preach the gospel, to preach repentance to the nations, and to urge them in this time and season to carry the cross. And I was telling him these things in the dream. But in reality, in the physical realm, he is doing a ministry of a kind of a prosperity gospel where he pleases everyone. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? You could be doing ministry. You could be doing the word work of God, but it is not the pathway of God you are walking on. He has ordained something else for you. Oh my God. Hallelujah. If you are understanding, all those who are, if you are understanding, say amen. Hallelujah. That is the breastplate of righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. That is the breastplate of righteousness. The ministry that I do, it's not, I know this ministry will not bring appreciation, money, and all those things that other people have. I know that very well. Because this ministry that I do, the Lord told me, it will be a cross to you. So I don't expect great honor and the red carpet from people. I don't expect that. Hallelujah. I understand that I am, the words that I will speak, everyone would not love it. Everyone would not be pleased by it. And then God taught me from many years. It took around 11 years of training on my life for God to make me like this. Hallelujah. Amen. Ministry is not something of show lights and all those things. It's like a cross. It's like a pathway on which you have to walk with your cross and follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Not necessarily there will be the limelight and the people honoring you and the red carpets coming for you. If they give it to me, that's okay. I receive it. But if they don't give, I continue to do, understanding what I am called to do. Hallelujah. Are you understanding the path of righteousness? Understand the ministry of Jesus. He did not build a mega church and did not have a lot of approval from all the people. What he was left was with one disciple when he was on the cross. All of the disciples ran away. The end of his ministry and of his life was by death on the cross. That was the earthly end. But he resurrected back. He was raised back. But see the life that he lived. That was the path of God ordained for Jesus. And it was written in Isaiah that he will be bruised for our iniquities. He will be wounded for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace will be upon him. Do you understand that what Jesus was supposed to do was already written by God for him? There was a feeling that came in Jesus that, Lord, in the Garden of Gethsemane, it is becoming too hard for me, Father. If it is possible, take this cup away from me. But moreover, no, not my will, your will be done. And at that time, Jesus was under utter pressure that his sweat was becoming drops of blood. That signifies of severe mental stress he was going through. Oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People of God, under mental stress, even if nothing is happening, can you stick to the conviction of, no, God, till the time God will not tell me, I will continue to walk in this path. I will not take a different path. That is righteousness. When you wear the breastplate of righteousness, it will build endurance in you. I was talking to our pastors and brothers in India. I was communicating with them and I was telling them how God would build endurance in us. Endurance. A righteous man is trained to endure every kind of hit and attacks. How? Like Jesus. Whatever kind of pressure, Jesus says, I will take the pathway that you are taking me on, the pathway of the cross. I will, hallelujah, let your will. It is displeasing to me. There is nothing that is pleasing to my flesh or convenient for me. There is no limelight there. There is nothing but a pathway to the cross. I will take that pathway because it's your pathway. That is righteousness. Are you understanding righteousness, people of God? It's staying on the course of God. It's completing. It's completing the fight, the course, the way. Walking on it and going to the end is righteousness. Hallelujah. I am telling you, many of the servants of God started off ministry with a pure heart, knowing the plan of God. But when they saw that their ministry is not like the others' ministry, other people's ministry, they are not getting fame, they are not getting money, 1,000 people are not coming to them to listen to them, they started to detract from the pathway of God so that they can get fast progress in ministry. Hallelujah. They are without the breastplate of righteousness. Hallelujah. Such ministers of the gospel have poison in their heart. Such ministers of the gospel have arrows and knives pierced in their hearts. Their heart is not in a good state because the breastplate is not there. Hallelujah. The breastplate. The Bible says a righteous man, even if he falls 7 times, he will rise again. Because when you walk in the path of God, the hand of God will be always upon you to protect you. The hand of God will always come you, lift you up. The hand of God will always come and comfort you. The hand of God, the presence of God will always come and fill the empty spaces. Oh, hallelujah. When you walk in the plan of God, when you walk, if Abraham said, Lord, I am comfortable here in the land of the Chaldeans, I don't want to come with you, he would not have experienced the providence of God, the hand of God, the love of God. Hallelujah. Because if you don't decide to walk, even though you are saved, even though you are not sinning, but if you don't decide to walk on his pathway with him, hallelujah, you have missed God's plan for your life. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Are you understanding righteousness? Righteousness is walking in the pathways of God. Walking in the pathways of God. So, listen to me. A righteous man's heart cannot be impacted with any sort of, you know, offenses or unforgiveness or bitterness, anything like that. Why? Because a righteous man knows when he is walking in the path of God, even the evil coming against him, even every arrow coming against him, or every bad or cheating that people are doing with him will be used for his good because he's walking in the path of God. When he reaches there, he will know that everything will work for my good. Joseph was a righteous young man. From the time he was young, he walked in the path of God. Hallelujah! The path of God did not lead him through a red carpet straight to the palace to become someone great. The path of God was through the pit, then slavery, then prison. That was the path of God for him. And if he could have cursed his brothers. Oh, these brothers have thrown me in the pit. And after that, they did that to me. My life has become miserable. Oh, these people, how wicked they are. He did not continue to curse. I will never forgive them. Lord, kill them. Lord, this, Lord, that. He never spoke like that. Because he submitted to the pathway that God ordained for him. He never cursed anyone. He never did anything. But when the brothers came back to him, when he became the prime minister of Egypt, you know what he said to his brothers, you intended to do evil to me, but God turned it for my good. A righteous man understands that, so he will take no offenses to his heart. Breastplate of righteousness. His heart will be protected. Someone cheated me. Okay. That's okay. I know I am in the path of God. What you need to focus is not how to pay back people. You need to focus is, am I on the pathway of God? In that pathway, if people cheat you, if you lose money, if there are frauds happening with you, whatever happens with you, hallelujah, criticize you, give 2-3 bad words to you, call you a false prophet, call you a devil, let them say, leave them. Because though, hallelujah, you just make sure that you are walking in the path of God and everything will be turned for your good. That is a righteous man who knows the pathway I am walking. The curses and the utterances of people cannot change my destiny, because hallelujah, we get offended with what people say because we take it to our heart and we think, oh, he said to me, he is defaming me. Now people will start hating me also. He's talking about me to 10 people, criticizing me. Oh, he's defaming my identity. Oh, a righteous man does not, a godly man leaves people to misunderstand him. He does not care because he knows that their curses, their gossip, their backbiting will not change my destiny, because I am walking on a path that is leading to Jesus. That is breastplate. Are you understanding how the breastplate of righteousness will protect your heart? Hallelujah. You know, the Pharisees even called our Savior devil. They called Jesus the devil. They called Jesus the boss of Beelzebub. Jesus never cared about them. He continued to preach and teach with boldness. He continued to call those people hypocrites. He never cared about them. Why? Because Jesus knew where he was headed towards. And their criticism, their defamation cannot do anything to him, because it is the Lord in whose word he is walking in. The breastplate of righteousness. Hallelujah. When you are sure, when you are convicted, hallelujah, you will be in peace. You can escape your, you know, heartbreaking that is happening to you from several criticisms that are coming. You are at peace. I know, Lord, I am walking in your pathway. Hallelujah, the breastplate of righteousness. Are we understanding how the breastplate of righteousness protects us? The breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is being obedient to the voice of God and walking in the path that he has ordained for you. Hallelujah. So I always encourage people, don't be in a hurry to do ministry, to do this, to do that. First, sit with the Holy Spirit and understand what is the kind of pathway ordained for you. Maybe you love Benny Hinn, that's okay, love him. But don't try to become like him, hallelujah, of having big crusades, because your pathway would be different. Hallelujah, for this season, it will be different. Amen, are we understanding? We don't try to become and follow another's pathway. Each of us has a different pathway. Do you understand that? And you have to discover that path that God has for you. Hallelujah, that pathway, and start to submit under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. The breastplate of righteousness. Ask yourself whether I am doing, though I am doing ministry and this and that, whether I am doing as per your will, and have you ordained this for me, or I am doing things by my own self. If you are doing things by your own self and not understanding what God has ordained for you and walking in it, then you don't have the breastplate. Hallelujah. So everything that happens to you will break your heart, will impact your heart, because you don't have the breastplate. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. So the next part of the armor we are going to look at is the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Let's see the belt of truth. What is the belt of truth? Now the belt of truth is what holds your armor, you know, the breastplate together, and it it gives a protection to the groin area. It holds even the belt of truth is to hold the armor together. Even the sword, it's to keep it there. The sword of the spirit is connected to the belt of truth. So what did I say in the beginning? Let me come back there. So I told you the helmet, breastplate, shield of faith is for protection. Okay, is the protecting elements of the armor. Then I said the belt is the connecting part of the armor, or the foundation of the armor. That is what we can say. The sword and the shoes are for attack and advancement. So now we are on the connecting part at the belt of truth, at the belt of truth. Now write it down. Truth is not to be heard or received. It shall be known. Write it down. Truth is not to be heard or received. It's to be what? Known. Known by the spirit of revelation. Hallelujah. It's okay when people say, I receive it. But are you knowing what you are receiving? The knowing of the truth. Just because it has been told you as a protocol. Many churches have protocols. That is good, you know. They are joyful and excitingly they receive. I'm not saying that is wrong. But they say, we receive it. We can do it here. We can say, we receive it. You know that? It's a protocol of the church. And when the prophet says, you shall prosper, they said, we receive it. When the prophet say, you shall shine like the sun, we receive it. It's good that they are receiving it and they are shouting and they are joyful in the house of the Lord and making some noise. That, praise God for that. But that receiving will not impact their life until they know what they are receiving. They are just following a protocol because everyone, I also receive it. But truth shall unveil its impact and transform your life when you know the truth, when you come to the knowledge of the truth, the knowing of a truth. Are you understanding? Even in this meeting, if you are just hearing from me, but you don't have a spirit of revelation that is making you to know what I am speaking, it may not impact. Maybe afterwards, maybe after 2 days, the spirit of revelation would come and make you know the truth that I spoke. Then it will bring its impact. Are you understanding? Truth is supposed to be known. Let me take you to Matthew's chapter number 16. Hallelujah. Matthew's chapter number 16. And it says, you know the scripture, verse number 13 onwards, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That is knowing of a truth. Do we understand that? That is knowing of the truth. So Jesus was working, Jesus was teaching, and then he was testing. Who came to the knowledge of me? Not just people are saying, who do people say I am? Some say Jeremiah, some say Elijah. Then he asked the disciples, among you, he was testing who has come to the knowledge of the truth. Are you understanding? And then he found this man called Peter, one among his disciples. He said, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you, Peter, you came to the knowledge. You have come to know me, who I am, by the spirit of revelation, by my Father. That is knowing a truth. Are you understanding? Because you know the truth, I will use you as a rock to build my church upon. You see that? God's kingdom cannot rest on your shoulders if your belt is not there. The truth is not there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If the truth is not there, truth will be revealed by knowing the truth. My people perish because of what? Lack of knowledge. Even knowledge is formed, it's knowing, knowing, knowing. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. I don't want to go in that revelation, but it's knowing. It's knowing the truth. What did Jesus say? He said, you shall know the truth. It does not say you shall hear the truth or receive the truth. You shall know. When you know the truth, when you understand the word of God by the spirit of revelation, that means when you read the word, the Holy Spirit, the Father speaks to you and makes you understand the meaning of it. You came to know the truth then. Hallelujah. When I'm speaking to you and you come here with a receptive heart, you come here prepared. Lord, I want you to speak to me. Hallelujah. When that hunger comes, when you come, every word will start to impact you, because you are coming to the knowledge of the truth. You are knowing the truth that is being taught here. Hallelujah. One of the pastors I was hearing, and he was, you know, kind of preaching, and he was saying so wonderfully, saying that, you know, he was saying, using his example, that when I used to go to the meeting and I used to fold my hands and sit like this and hear the sermon, and after the sermon ended, it was okay. Then another person, right in the same meeting, would tell me, this was the best sermon that God spoke to me. And then that pastor used to wonder, I thought it was okay, but how this person is so excited and saying that God spoke to him. Hallelujah. And then that pastor says that God told him, it's about your attitude. You were folding your hands and sitting there like that, but that guy had his diary open with his pen and saying to me, oh Lord, speak to me. So he received the truth. He came to the knowledge of the truth because of the attitude of his heart towards God and his word. On him I will look, he who trembles at my word. Hallelujah. There may be 1,000 people sitting in the meeting, but he who comes with awe, reverence, trembling at the word, oh Lord, speak to me. I am confused. I don't know. Speak to me. He who trembles at the word of God, on him in the whole meeting, the eyes of God will be. And everything that is coming from the pulpit. Sometimes preachers are not even in the spirit, but they start to preach powerfully in the spirit because God cares about some hungry people in the congregation and wants to bring them to the knowledge of the truth. Do we understand truth? Hallelujah. 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 So what I want to say is, if your doctrine is not right, if you don't know the doctrine of God by revelation, hallelujah, your armor will fall apart. Your armor will fall apart. Many of us are trying to protect our mind. Many of us are trying to know God and have the breastplate of righteousness and this and that. Hallelujah. But the knowledge of truth, they are not laboring to know the word. Everything, how much ever they try, they will not be able to protect their mind or their heart, because the knowledge of the truth is not with them. This is the basic. Hallelujah. This is the foundation, the belt of truth that holds the armor together. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people, until now? Like Peter, he received it by revelation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because many Christians think, oh, we will keep our hands folded, and just like a traditional meeting, the pastor will say something and then we will leave. No. Hallelujah. When you are hungry for God, God will fill you with the knowledge of the truth, will bring to you the knowing of the truth. Are we understanding? John chapter number, let me take you to a few verses. Okay. John chapter number 7, verse number, or is that John chapter number 7, verse number 16 and 17? Yeah. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. Hallelujah. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Hallelujah. Now Jesus was teaching, but the Pharisees were like, this guy, we know he's the son of a carpenter. We know his mother. Oh, he did not even go to school, despising Jesus. You know? And when you despise the messenger of God, you will never come to the knowledge of the truth. There is something called as grieving the Holy Spirit. Grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can also be grieved when you despise a man, whoever it is, but he speaks by the Spirit of God. If you despise that man who is bringing the message of God for you, you are grieving the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit through the man. It's not even about the man. It's the Spirit of God through the man. Are you understanding? Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying, I am not teaching things by my own will, creating sermons by my own self. What I am teaching you is the doctrine I received from my Father. The doctrine should be clear. The doctrine should be understood. And you will only understand the doctrine when you are humble. Hallelujah. When there is humility in you. Are we understanding the doctrine of God? That is the truth. The truth is the word of God, the doctrine of God. Hallelujah. Some more verses in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And verse number 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Apostle Paul is training this young man, Timothy. Hallelujah. And most of the things he says about warfare, about concentrating on understanding the doctrine, the word of God, it's very important. You cannot say, I am called to be a miracle minister, a healing minister, so I don't go into the word. No, you have to understand the word. Okay, hallelujah. It will hold the weapons of God together. Every weapon shall be in its place. The armor will be in its place and function accordingly when the understanding of the word, the belt of truth, is there. Okay, then again, 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 15 to 17, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, again to Timothy, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. The word of God is the truth of God. I many times say that many people, when I talk to some people, you know, this is what, and I tell them, it's not my advice. It's the will of God I'm telling you. And if you can reject or you can accept. Okay. And when you give the word of God, it's word of God is a truth and not an advice. It's not an option. When you speak from the word, hallelujah. The word is an established truth that is designed by God for a life of a human being to be managed and to be driven on this earth. The word of God is the manual, hallelujah, that will keep us in the will of God and keep us living and driven by the purposes of God. That is the word of God. Are we understanding? It's not just a piece, because there are unbelievers. I know a lady, I used to go to her house and I used to have night prayers at her house. This lady was a very strong woman of faith and prayer warrior. The lady's husband was an unbeliever and did not accept Christ, but he used to read the Bible. And the lady told me, my husband loves the Bible, but has not accepted Jesus. I told why? Because he says he read the Bible and he's an intelligent man. He understood the principles of the Bible and became prosperous because he has a lot of money. Hallelujah. So he is using Bible as a tool of prosperity, but not coming to the knowledge of the truth that can bring salvation for him. Hallelujah. I said, okay. That's good enough that he will live peace. He will live prosperously in this world and this in this life. But what about the life after this? There is nothing for him if he does not, if he just uses the Bible as a tool for prosperity. Many preachers have become like that, you know. They just use the Bible to preach prosperity. The Bible is not like that. Hallelujah. You want to become prosperous? There is verses in the Bible. There is scriptures in the Bible to make you rich, to make you prosperous. That is not the Bible is for. Just a tool to receive something. It's a manual that you have to completely obey and follow if you want to be saved and if you want to be approved by God Most High. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding the belt of truth? People of God, we need to give we need to give due respect and honor to understand the word of God. Understand the word of God. The word has to be rightly divided. The word of truth in these times and season have to be rightly divided. I see Christianity nowadays being rightly divided by emotions and love for people, not by the word of truth. A prophetess of God rebuked people for going to Beyonce's concert and received so much of backlash from pastors and from Christians and worshipers and all those people. She rebuked people for going to Beyonce's concert and told that Beyonce's concert and songs are demonic. And she received so much of backlash. You know what they are saying to her? Oh, sister, you are not having the love of Christ. How could you rebuke? People are not rightly dividing the word of truth. She is speaking by the word. Hallelujah. But you are discerning and you are judging her by your emotions and by the flesh. Are we understanding? It is time for us to respect the word of God over positions and feelings and over people. We have to give the word in the body of Christ. The word of God should be the authority. The word of God, the revelation of the word of God, not any man, not any anointed man. I respect men of God. I love them. You know, I even pray for them, men of God, but the word is about them. Hallelujah. The word of God is about them. And if these people start to manipulate, twist the word of God, I'm not going to approve of such people just because I love them humanly. Because the word is about the relationships and the love we have for people. Okay, hallelujah. Are we understanding? The word, the belt of truth will hold everything together. Oh my God. The next thing I want to quickly cover is the shield of faith. The shield of faith. The shield of faith is the protection against the arrows of deception and lies. The arrows of deception and lies. What is faith, first of all? This faith is like a shield that protects us from arrows of deception, lies, and manipulation. Let's go to the definition of faith in Hebrews 11, verse number 1. Hebrews 11, verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, faith, first of all, is something that is not seen, is something that does not exist in the physical realm that exists around us. So, faith is contrary to the things we see. Hallelujah. What? Faith is contrary to the things we see. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 7. What it says? We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is about perspective. Faith is about seeing, Listen to me. Wherever faith is mentioned in the Bible, where Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, or wherever faith is mentioned in the Old Testament about the things of faith, it's always about seeing. By faith, Abraham journeyed with God, not looking for a city or a place on earth, but his eyes had a vision of the city in heaven. That is faith. Hallelujah. He believed God and he walked with God. By faith, Moses rejected the pleasures of heaven Why? Because he saw the purpose of God for his life. He rejected to be in, by faith Moses rejected the pleasures of Egypt, not heaven. The pleasures of Egypt. He rejected the pleasures of Egypt and he chose to be among the brethren of Israel because he saw by faith, hallelujah, the Lord who called him by faith. He wanted to be there. So faith is about seeing, about seeing, about seeing. And faith is contrary to our physical vision and about the physical eye. We walk by faith and not by seeing. We live by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Are you understanding? Hallelujah. Second Kings, don't go there. We don't have time. Second Kings, chapter number 6. Verse 13 to 17. Do you remember the story? The incident where the king sent an army to kidnap Elisha. And the army was surrounding Elisha's house. And the Bible says the servant arose in the morning and saw the enemy surrounding and said, "Alas, my master, we will die." But Elisha said, "Oh, you don't have the eyes to see? Lord, open his eyes." And he saw the armor. The chariots of fire all around the place, surrounding Elisha. That is faith. That is faith. Faith is not believing the situation. The devil can come against you like a giant, like a Goliath. Hallelujah. But faith is to see your God bigger than the giant that is standing in front of you. Faith is perspective. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. This man who is given a ministry of animations, God gave him a ministry of animation. And I love his animations that he makes about spiritual warfare. So in this animation, like a cartoon, by the Spirit of God, he makes powerful animation. He makes powerful animation. So by the Spirit of God, he made this animation where this warriors of God were supposed to go in a dark territory to conquer the territory. So the warriors of God went and from a distant place, they saw giants standing there to guard the territory. They saw the giants like 12, 13 feet tall and they saw them and ran away. The warriors of God. Then after that, one man filled with the Spirit of God came to the territory. And when he approached further, he also saw those giants. But he did not fear. He marched ahead and he went close to the giant. When he went close to the giant, he just saw that the giant was not real. It was just like a cardboard piece standing with a support. And he just did something, I think. He just blowed air on it and the cardboard fell down. Do you understand? The enemy, that is the shield, the kind of force and the impact with which he comes against you, it's not really powerful. It's powerless, I want to tell you, if you know your God. If you know your God, if you know the protection he has bestowed upon you, because you are walking on his path, the enemy will look powerless in front of you. You will never be afraid. Elisha was never afraid because he had the eyes. He had faith. He knew it. The kind of army that is surrounding him. Are you understanding? Faith. Faith. That is the shield of faith. Hallelujah. A call came to you in the morning. You know, in your business, in your office, the income tax have raided the office. And the kind of, but you know God is in control of your office, of your business. You know the angels of God have been stationed in your office that no one can cheat or deceive you. You will go in peace to the office. You have faith. You know that you have not cheated anyone. You know that you do your business righteously. You know that everything is in place. You will go in faith. Hallelujah. And then when you go there, you recognize that the income tax officers had come to the office on the third floor as accidentally they approached your floor. Hallelujah. They did not come to you actually. Are you understanding? Oh my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is faith. That is faith. Got a report from the hospital. Oh, you cannot. This is the sickness you have. This has been detected in you. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's an impact, it's a force by the enemy for you to accept the situation. Reject the situation. Reject what the situation is telling you. Have faith in what God has for you. Hallelujah. Are you understanding, people of God? Faith. Faith. Faith is about seeing the things of God, hearing the things of God. Hallelujah. Then when you read 1 Kings chapter number 18, 41 to 44, I told you that there Elijah heard the sound of abundance of rain, but the situation was contrary. The skies were clear, but he continued to pray on the basis of the sound he heard. He had faith in the word that he heard. He had faith in the sound that he heard from God, and he stayed on that. Hallelujah. Faith is staying, sticking, holding on to the word of God. Matthew chapter number 14, verse 31. Jesus says to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When he was walking on the water, he started to drown. Because Jesus said to him, "Come." And he was looking to Jesus and walking. So faith is simply that you start to trust what the situation is telling you, rather than looking at Jesus and hearing his word. That is faith. So the shield of faith is where your attention is, where your focus is, where your eyes are looking towards. It's the shield of faith. There is a lot of things that I can teach about faith, but we don't have the time now. So we will end here on the shield of faith, and then we will continue next time. But that is the shield of faith. If you don't have faith, like what example I gave you, the income tax, the call came, "Oh, income tax, I've raided your office." But you had faith, you went there, and then you recognized they did not come to your office. They accidentally came to your floor. They were supposed to go to the next floor. It would have given you panic attacks if you would have taken that in. But you had faith that nothing will happen. Hallelujah. Because even if anything happens, God is in control. Hallelujah. Faith, faith, faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you should have faith in his spoken word. If he has told you he will do it, you should have faith in that word and not in the situation around you and not what is happening in your life. Don't trust your sight. Trust the word. Trust what God is showing you. Trust what you are seeing in the unseen realm. That is faith. Hallelujah. And by doing that, you can put down the arrows of deception, lie, and manipulation that come against you. Hallelujah. One is the helmet, the breastplate, and the next is the shield of faith that can disturb you or leave you with panic attacks if you don't have faith, if you don't trust God enough. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, put on the armor of God so that we can stand in these evil days. We can stand against the wiles of the enemy. And it is time, people of God, saints of God, to put on the armor of God. Hallelujah. The weapons of warfare, the armor has been given to us, but are we using it? Are we understanding it? Are we putting the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the sword of the spirit, and the shoes of the gospel of peace? Hallelujah. 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 Father, 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 we pray, we put on the armor, Lord. We put on the armor. Hallelujah. And the devil will not be able to impact us in any way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, your army is not supposed to stay at one place. Your army is supposed to advance and conquer the demonic territories. And I pray that you will bring the army to wear the belt of truth, understanding the word of God, knowing the word of God, by which they put on the whole armor to march forward, conquering the demonic territories, Lord, bringing down your kingdom on the earth, bringing down your kingdom in the nations in the name of Jesus. Oh Father, you said, ask of me and I will give you the nations. We pray tonight as the body of Christ that you give us the nations, Lord. You give us the nations, Lord, that the jurisdiction of heaven can be implemented in the nations of the world. Each person here, Lord, you have given them the capability, Lord, by your spirit, by your word, by your weapons, Lord, to go against thousands and ten thousands, Lord. They are not normal people, Lord. They are your children, called to carry out mighty exploits for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Let them be focused, Lord. Let them wear the whole armor of God, standing against the wiles of the enemy and advancing in the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the coming meetings also on Saturdays and Sundays. Every meeting we give into your hands. I pray that you will lead us and guide us all and cover us all the families with the blood of Jesus. Those families and people who are not able to come tonight, I pray that they will come. Oh Lord, Holy Spirit, that you will bring them on in the next meetings in Jesus' mighty name, that they will fellowship in the presence of God with the people of faith, with the people of God who are in the spirit, and their faith will be sharpened, their lives will change, Lord, and they will become overcomers in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we want to thank you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.